Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I want to talk to you about the next great prophetic event on the calendar. And we call that event the what? And there's nothing else that has to take place in prophecy for the rapture to take place. And so, I've always kind of mean, y'all have recognized that, haven't you? But I've always wondered what day or what night the rapture was going to take place. And no man knows. Although I think it'd be just a lot like Jesus to come on Sunday night. How would y'all like to rapture up out of here together tonight? It could happen tonight. What a beautiful place for us to leave earth, right? I was talking about the rapture one Christmas with a lady. And I was talking about how ready I was for the Lord to come. And I hoped He would come at Christmas time. And she said, "Come at Christmas time? What?" "Yeah, wouldn't that be great?" And she said, "All the children would miss Christmas." Jesus is Christmas, right? And so, what's here? Poof! Gone in a minute, in a second. And then we've got the next big great event over here on the prophetic calendar. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, His literal return. And for 7 years, what's going on here? The great tribulation period. And now, we're going to be where for 7 years? We're going to be getting our beauty treatments for 7 years. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I may talk about that next time we meet. Before we jump into what worship's going to be like in heaven. Y'all get ready for chapter 4. I'm going to rock your world with how worship is in heaven. It's what changed me and how I began to think about worship, what it's really like in heaven. So I'm not exactly sure which one of those two we'll talk about, but right here is our 7-year great tribulation period, the return of Christ. Who's coming with Him? We are. What are you going to be riding? Not motorcycles. Great white horses, yes. And then over here is the great... Well, I had a good question tonight about the great white throne judgment. And he asked me, he said, what's going to happen after... Now, what's right here between the return and the great white throne judgment? That's right, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we're going to reign and rule with Him. And then where's Satan during this time? That's right, he's in the bottomless pit. He's locked up. He's incarcerated. Won't it be wonderful for Satan to be locked up in jail? Hello? Come on now, y'all are on a first name basis with him just like I am. And so he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years, and we're going to be in this kind of Garden of Eden experience for 1,000 years. People are going to live long lives, going to be very little death and sickness, not going to be hardly any war. Jesus is going to reign and rule with a righteous right hand. Oh, what a time it's going to be. And then at the end of that 1,000-year reign, unbelievably, there'll be people that have not been that have been born during that 1,000 years that are on earth or in their human state. And unbelievably, there'll be people that are still lost in their sin. How do you know that? Because Satan will be released at the end of that 1,000 years, and he'll be able to lead one final vote against Jesus and the saints. You see that? You know what that tells me about our hearts? Our hearts are wicked. They need to be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that rebellion will be squelched, and then every dead, lost person that's ever lived, every lost person will be raised for the great white throne judgment. And they will all be judged according to their works and sent to hell. We'll talk about all that, and then the new heaven and the new earth. So here's your revelation timeline. In a sense, okay? Are we there? Y'all ready for the rapture? Y'all are about as ready for the rapture as you were for one day Jesus is going to call my name. I can tell. Let's go. Revelation chapter 4, and we're at verse 1. I don't know which one to exactly read first. I tell you what, let's go over to Revelation chapter 1, and let's read verse 19. And then we'll jump to chapter 4. Revelation 1, verse 19. Write the things which you have seen. Now, what had John just seen in chapter 1? The glorified Christ. It had been years since he'd seen Jesus. And he had seen the glorified Christ. And so, John is told to write those things that you have seen. Okay? That's what he saw. And then he says, write those things which are. That's the seven churches. That's the things that are going on in the present as during John's time, during John's day. And so he wrote those things that he heard and he saw about the seven churches. Now look at the latter part of verse 19. And the things which will take place after this. And so from chapter 4 in the book of Revelation all the way to the end of the book, those are future things. Those are the things which will be. And so that's what we're talking about now. We're talking about future things. We're talking about the last things. We're talking about eschatology, the last things. And so John's writing about those things that have not yet happened. And I'm so glad. Aren't you glad John wrote down the greatest prophetic message that's ever been given to mankind? Aren't you glad about that? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm happy. Even though I don't look like it, I'm happy. All right. And I believe that this message was given to John by the angel Gabriel. We talked about that last week, the great archangel. And so John wrote down the vision that he had seen with the glorified Christ, chapter 1, and then the things which are the seven churches, chapters 2 and 3. And then in Revelation 4 and 1, look at this. Are you ready? After these things, y'all stand. We're reading God's Word here. I'm sorry. If you can stand, if you can't, it's okay. Just honor God's Word as best you can. After these things, what things? The things that he's been told, the things that he's seen. Okay? After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. You see, John had been on earth, and now he's fixing to change locations. Where's he going? That's right. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Now, where have you heard that before? Remember, John was in worship on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. And he heard a voice behind him that sounded like a... Yes. Oh, that's this apocalyptic language. As it were, like a trumpet. You'll hear this apocalyptic language all throughout the book of Revelation. And so the voice that John heard was like a trumpet. It wasn't a trumpet, but it was like a trumpet. You know, how in the world do you describe heavenly things with earthly language? I mean, John's in a mess here. And he's doing the best he can. So he's trying. He said, I heard a voice that sounded like a trumpet. And what did the trumpet say? Come up hither. Now, we don't say come up hither anymore. But that's the way they used to talk in 1611, right? But now what do we say? Come up here. Come up here. And Yes, I will show you things which must take place after this. Talking about future things. Father, give us grace. Give us inspiration. Give us revelation tonight as we talk about these future things, Lord, that have to happen. You said they would happen. And they encourage us. They bless us. Lord, use your word tonight to build us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I believe the words that John heard will be the words that we're going to hear. Come up here. And I also believe, like you heard Billy Walker say in Bible study this morning, I believe you're going to hear your name. I believe that Jesus is a personal Lord and Savior, is He not? He's not some pie-in-the-sky God. He's not some detached deity somewhere. He is up close and personal. How many of you are best friends with Jesus? And so I believe you're going to hear your name. He's going to say, Kevin, come on up here. And y'all know how Kevin is. He won't be able to wait to get there. I mean, he'll get there quick. And so I believe every believer is going to hear His name. Now, it may not be that way, but it really doesn't matter. Because when Gabriel toots, we're going to scoot. We're going to hear something from the halls of heaven, and we're going to head out from here. I remember what He said to Lazarus, a man, his best buddy who'd been dead 4 days. You remember he showed up at the tomb, everybody's crying. They've already hired the mourners and the grievers, and everybody's sobbing. And Jesus walks up to the tomb, and he's even weeping, and He says, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Man, a dead man came walking out of the grave. And so I believe you're going to hear your name, and you're going to hear those words, come on up here. You're going to say, yes, sir. And you're going to head out. And so now, and I need to talk for just a minute about this word rapture. Now, can I just say this to you lovingly? We believe in some things that are not in the Bible. Y'all believe in Sunday school? You can tell by looking at me, I believe in covered dish dinners. Right? We believe in things that are not necessarily written in the Bible. But the word rapture itself is not in the Bible. But I got good news for you. It's taken from a Greek verb. Well, let me back up. In the 3rd and 4th century, there was a Latin Bible that was written called the Latin Vulgate. And the word that was taken from this Greek verb, harpazo, which means caught up, snatched away with violence, is the Latin word rapio, which we get our word for yes. And so while the word rapture, you won't find it in the Bible, a catching away, a snatching up, it is in the Bible. That word is in the Bible. Billy, didn't you cover one of those words today? Yeah, it was in... Was it in Ezekiel or John? I've caught him on the spot here. But that word caught up, snatched away, that's in the Bible. You remember when the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized? And the Bible said that Philip was snatched up, caught away, and he was taken for another witnessing opportunity. That's the word rapture. That's what we use for the word rapture. Has everybody got that? Okay, because I want y'all to get that. That's an important point there. And then there are three key passages about the rapture in your New Testament. One of them is this one verse right here. I believe the rapture actually takes place in Revelation between verse 1 and verse 2. And by the way, the church is not heard from again in the book of Revelation until chapter 19. When we come back with the Lord at the return, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're not going to hear anything else about the church. Why? Gone. Out of here. Come up hither. And so that's a reference to the rapture here in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, there's several passages of Scripture that describe what's going to take place. And one of those, of course, is in John 14, 1 through 3. And we'll take a look at that. And then the other one is in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. And we'll read those. And then the passage that we're really going to jump in tonight is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. So turn left in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Man, this is a... great passages. Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. first thing that's going to happen in the rapture is dead believers will be resurrected. And that happens there in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But let's read up to that point if we can. Look at verse 13. And here, first of all, we have the promise of return. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. I'm so glad God doesn't want Cal Hampton to be ignorant. He wants me to know about these things, these future events that's going to take place. And so we have the Word of God here tonight. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, the word sleep is the Bible word for when believers die. Their body sleeps, goes to the grave. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, your body sleeps. But now, look at Scott Steinsaltz. Isn't he a piece of work? I mean, you see Scott as he is. I mean, he's got the beautiful body thing going on. But who Scott really is not this big 6 foot, 235 pounds of meat and muscle. I mean, who he really is locked up in his soul and spirit. What makes Scott think the way he thinks? What makes Scott talk the way he talks? What makes Scott tick? That's who he is. That's his spirit, his soul. That's who Scott really is. And I want to say I love that old boy. I love his spirit. I love his soul. I love Scott Steinsaltz. Don't y'all? How about that, brother? See, that's worth the admission. He said he left his dollar over here on the table when he came in. I don't know. But that's the Bible describes believers. The soul and the spirit of that believer goes elsewhere. The body sleeps and goes to the grave. So let's read on. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14. Now get this, y'all. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. And so this is a promise that the Lord will return for His people. This is the rapture. Did y'all know, do you know how many prophecies there were about the Lord's first coming? 333. Did they all come true? Oh yeah, He came the first time. But He is coming again. Even as He said He would come the first time, He will come again. And when He comes, oh my. Now, let me back up. Look, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5:8. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:8. Let me just back up here just a little bit. Yeah, there it is. Second, 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so today, when a believer dies, where does his or her body go? To the grave. But where does his or her soul or spirit go? With the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So where's all your saved loved ones who have passed away? They're with Jesus. They're better off than we are. They're with the Lord. And so when the Lord returns for His church, for His bride, guess who's coming with Him? Susan Grandmama Hampton's coming with Him. And can't you see her on a white horse? Oh my. And so all of those loved ones of ours, their spirit, their soul is with the Lord. And they're coming back with Him. That is, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again. You see, this is all about faith, brothers and sisters. Faith in what the Word of God has already said. So now, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. I should have kept my finger there. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, verse 14, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord by no means precede those who are asleep. Let me just kind of give you some goodies here about the church at Thessalonica. They believed that the Lord was coming back in their lifetime. They believe all those prophecies that Paul had given them. And so they're looking for Jesus to come back. And now it's about 60 years later, and he still hadn't returned, and some of their loved ones had died. They were asleep in Christ. And so they're wanting some hope. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, you don't have to worry about your loved ones who have fallen asleep. They're going to rise first. Y'all getting this stuff? They're going to rise first. Even when he comes, those of us who are still here, they're going to go first, and then we're going to go. All right? Everybody with me so far? Hang in. Now, I get so excited in verse 16, I might just go ahead and take off anyways. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? With a shout. Cal! Come up here! I remember two other times the Scripture says the Lord shouted. One was at the graveside of Lazarus. You remember where the other one was? When Jesus was on the cross and he died and he shouted, it is finished. The third shout happens at the rapture. There will be, the Lord himself will shout. And then the Bible says the voice of the archangel. Well, what's up with that? Well, when you read about what Michael the archangel, he was battling with Satan over Moses' body. And I believe Michael could say something like this. Well, Satan, your plan didn't work. The saints are on their way home. Hallelujah. I don't know what he's going to say, but the voice of the archangel, and then there will be a trumpet go off. Mercy me, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, were any of y'all at the prayer meeting the other night, First Baptist? That there was a lady there that blew on a shofar, and that thing was almost as long as I am tall. And she blew three blasts on that thing. And it was loud. And there was a trumpet that would be blown every now and then when they wanted to call all of Israel together out in the wilderness. This is the trumpet that's going to summon the Lord's church. There'll be a trumpet blast, and all of a sudden, all of these, Jesus is going to step down off the clouds, and all of those souls and spirits, they won't be on horses then. I told you I'm wrong. I'm getting to the return of Christ too quick. But their soul and their spirit will return with Christ. And graves, y'all, all over this universe are going to open forth. They're going to open up and give forth those who have sleep in Jesus. They're going to wake up. You ever wonder why they call it that great getting up morning? That's because all God's church is going to wake up, and they're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And he's going to bring all those folks with him. Now, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection passage. 1 Corinthians 15. You see, God can't let us into heaven the way we are right now. We have an earthly body that's cursed with what? And sin and sickness and all this stuff. So he's got to give us some different kinds of bodies. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15, let's start there at verse 41. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It's raised in that. Our corrupt bodies that have decayed and decomposed and deterioralized, all of that's going to be raised incorruptible. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. When my little dad died, Susan and Chan and I and my mom were around his bed. And I'd quoted John 14:1-3, and prayed, and my dad took his last breath on earth and his first breath in heaven. And he weighed about 90 pounds. I mean, he was just frail, feeble. Cancer had eaten him up. I hate leukemia. I hate cancer. But you know, I read this verse tonight, and I thought about my dad's body, sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Oh, glory to His name. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body, and it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And he, what as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And now listen to this. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Capital M. There's a glorified man on the throne in heaven, and one of these days, you're going to have a body like Jesus. Raised in glory. Raised in power. Raised incorruptible. Never to sin again. Give God a Baptist shout. Trust me, y'all will shout later one day. Turn to John 14. It just gets better. Turn to John 14. Real quick. You never really thought of John 14 as a rapture passage, probably. But that's what verse 2 and 3 are really all about. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's one thing to say I believe in God. It's something totally different to say I believe in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Your loved ones who have died in Christ, they're in heaven, in places that God's prepared for them. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God wants us to be with Him. Jesus wants us to be with Him. And so He's going to return. And we need to go back now to 1 Corinthians 15. You've got to see this passage. I'm working y'all out tonight, aren't I? 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 50, and then we'll go back to Thessalonians. You cannot miss this. 1 Corinthians 15, remember we're talking about the promise now of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. You see, what he's saying is, our bodies are not ready for heaven yet. We've got the wrong kind of body, man. We've got earthly bodies, natural bodies. And so these bodies have to be changed by the power of Almighty God. And that's going to take place in the resurrection and the rapture. He says, verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, those who are still alive. And so, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what's therefore? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever we do for Jesus, for His glory, and for His sake, and for His honor, and for His praise, it is not in vain. Isn't this wonderful stuff? If you're a believer, you believe some wild things. And so, what's the first sound the children of God will hear? Those who have already passed away in Christ, what are they going to hear? A shout! And then what's the second thing they're going to hear? The voice of the archangel. And then what's the third sound they're going to hear? A trumpet. And then what's going to happen? The Lord Jesus is going to step down off of the throne, out, down the up in the third heavens, down through the second heavens, where the Milky Way galaxy and all that is, down through the first heavens where the birds fly and the clouds are, and graves all over this world are going to open forth. And those Christians, how is God going to do that? How's God going to put folks who drowned in the Caribbean and Atlantic Sea? How's He going to put that body together? I don't know. But anybody who can whisper and the whole universe spring into existence can put your body back together. What about all those men and women, those martyrs Billy was talking about, who've been martyred and burned at the stake? There's ashes or somewhere. It don't matter where they are. God's going to raise them up. And their bodies will be reunited with their spirit, and they'll have a body like Jesus. And you'll be able to travel, I think, at the speed of thought. Think a thought. Where's your favorite place to go? Have you got it? Boom, you're there. Woo! Are y'all there? Some of y'all need to get out your sanctified imagination. Goodness gracious. All right. The one who created us will snatch and gather His people together. And to think that you have... How many of you have read the book called Heaven? That's a good book. And he's a theologian and a fiction writer, a novelist. Got the best of both worlds, Randy Alcorn. And he believes that we'll all be 25 again. I don't know where that scripture is. But isn't that a good thought? 25 again, David? Oh my. Prime of your life. We'll be a lot different, but we'll be somewhat the same. Scott. Scott, is that you? Oh, yes, it's me. Is that you, Cal? Yeah, it's me. Somewhat the same, but a lot different. Yes. Yes. So dead believers are going to rise first. They'll be resurrected. I need to move on here. Living believers will be raptured. Look at verse 17. Go back to Thessalonians. Are we okay? We're doing all right? Everybody okay? Can I make a confession? This is real stuff. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I called Shan and couldn't get a hold of him. I called Billy and couldn't get a hold of him. I called Mike Rainey and couldn't get a hold of him. I think I called Melanie and couldn't get a hold of her. I called Susan and couldn't get a hold of her. And y'all know what? I got scared I'd miss the rapture. Living believers, bless God, are going to be raptured. Verse 17, 1 Thessalonians. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see, at the rapture, Jesus isn't literally coming back to the earth. He's just coming in the clouds. And we're going to rise to meet Him. And remember what Corinthians 15 said? We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's a New York nanosecond. And so this thing's almost going to be, we're going to be snatched out of here so fast, it's almost a violent catching away. And we're going to be changed in a moment in our glorified state. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. When I was younger, I think I told you all this before. That's a sign of getting older. You tell the same things to the same people over and over again. But I used to think resurrection would be really cool. But now that I'm 61, rapture is real appealing. If it kills me, I'm going to get some of y'all to smile in church. Living believers will be raptured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Dick and I were talking about the Gaither Vocal Band before the service, and they used to sing a song called Learning to Live, Learning to Die. And one of these days, I'm going to learn to fly. We're going to rise. Strongest force in the universe, gravity. Going to be broken, suspended, relaxed to let the saints of God go free. And we're going to rise to meet. I'll see my grandmama Hampton over in Memphis coming up. And my granddaddy Hampton coming up from their graveside over there. And I'll see my granddaddy Smith, the Baptist preacher for 60 years. And his wife, Alma, they'll be rising over there in Oklahoma. And then I'll see my mom over here on the other side of Clarksville. I'll see her rising. And what if it happens tonight? And we all going to rise right through this roof. And I'll see my dad, who's asleep over in Greenwood Cemetery. And his body will be reunited with his spirit. And I want to tell you, leukemia will never be able to touch him again. Dementia will never be able to get on him again. He'll have a body like Jesus. And I will too. You know what the rest of this verse says? And thus we shall, what? Always. Always be with the Lord. You see, God wants us to be with Him. Always. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, just a few more days. Sing that old story. When twilight falls, we'll go to Him. And can you imagine that day? Brother Sheps, my buddy Brother Sheps, his favorite song is, "What a day that will be when upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." All dead believers are going to rise singing, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" Living believers are going to rise singing, "Oh grave, where is thy victory?" And it could be tonight. Are you ready? If it were to happen tonight, are you ready? A lot of people would say yes. Some would say, I'm not sure. You know what? I wouldn't leave that to chance. I would not leave that to chance. Billy was talking about John 10, verse 27 this morning. My sheep hear my voice. And not they know me. He says, I know them. And they follow me. And sadly, those horrible words. Jesus is talking about the wide and the narrow road. You remember that passage of Scripture? And all these people will be, look what all I did for you in your name. Man, I preached in your name. Man, I gave great numbers in your name. I did all these things in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Somebody asked me one time, do you think all the Baptists are going to heaven? And I said, I'm not sure a lot of us are going to heaven. Because only those who follow Him, His followers, He knows them. And for those that He knows, it'll be a joyous occasion, won't it? The next time we get together, I think we might just look at that 7 year. For 7 years, we're going to be in heaven. And we're going to be getting our beauty treatments. We're going to be at the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you'll never be judged for your sin. Where did that take place? That's right, at the cross. God's never going to haul you again back into His courtroom, and you're going to have to pay for your sins. That took place that all of our sins have been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Have you got that? That's eternal security, see. But we're going to be given some things. My wife and I were talking about it on the way in tonight. Our works are going to be judged at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ. And those things that we've done for His glory and power and praise and honor, everything we've done for Him, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. There'll be positions of service, places where God will put us, where we can reign and rule with Him for 1,000 years when we return with Him. And then sadly, those things that we did for us so that people would see us, those things we did in our power and strength and all that, that's going to burn up. And by the way, I can't think of anything quite worse than to offer God, here you go, Lord, here's a wasted life. But there'll be some folks like that that make it to heaven by the skin. I don't know how you are, but I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you rapture ready tonight? Let's pray. Father, maybe there's some things I shouldn't have said that I said. Maybe there's other things that I didn't say and I should have said. I just pray, Lord, that You would, Mike asked early in this message, if You would bless the word. Lord, I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just the delivery boy. I pray that You would honor Your word tonight and that we would walk out of here singing, oh, what a Savior. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's not ready, should You return? This is how you get ready. It's by simply trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just simply trusting in what He's already done for you. See, salvation isn't about doing. It's already done. And then when you receive Him by faith as your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your life. and you begin to go to work for His glory, you have a salvation that works. And so if you're here this evening and you just need to pray, we're just going to have a quiet time. Don, if you can maybe play a little something while we're praying, if you need to receive Christ tonight, you just talk to the Lord. You don't need to talk. Just talk to Him. And you pray. Pastor, I believe I'm saved. I'm born again. What you doing for Jesus' sake? What you doing for His glory and honor? Don't forget who you're working for, because He'll make all the difference for you. Don't forget who you're serving for. Don't forget who you're giving to. Use you this week. From other churches, would you ask the Lord tonight to revive His church in Clarksville and Montgomery County, to revive His people, so that we might be able to reach these people who are not rapture ready tonight? There's thousands of them. God wants to use us to reach them. Just pray that you'd be a usable vessel. Let's stop playing games. Let's be all that God wants us to be. Father, thank You for this evening. And as the song has been played, how great You are. Jerry Vines was preaching on this passage of Scripture at a pastor's conference I was at many, many years ago. And he was preaching on this this thing called the rapture. And the next week, hospital visits on to some two ladies who were actually in that service, and they were in the same hospital. And Dr. Vines found out they were in the same hospital room together. And so he said, well, you know what? I'll kill two birds with one stone, and I'll go see these sisters and try to encourage them and pray for them. And so he got to the hospital and walked in, knocked before he went in. And the lady said, come on in. And so he walked in and they both perked up and said, oh, hello, Dr. Vines. We're in here talking about the rupture of the church. That's true in some ways, is it not? But I'm so thankful. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'll see y'all Wednesday. I'll see some of the rest of you sometime, maybe here or there. Amen. God bless you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.